Matthew chapter 1. You guys got to stop clapping for me. No, you're excited. Matthew chapter 1, we'll be looking at that passage, very well-known Christmas passage. Did read about two blind ladies this past week, though, that were looking for a Christmas tree, and they wanted to do it the old-fashioned way, so they wanted to not go to Kmart, as we call it, Kmart, and or Walmart. They didn't want to go to any of those type of places. They wanted to go out to a tree farm. So they drove a few hours into the country, and they found a Christmas tree farm. And they started looking, and hours went by. And they had started early in the morning. It went past lunchtime, and then it got past way mid-afternoon, and they still hadn't found a tree. And then the sun was starting to go down. A storm was coming in. And finally, one of the blonde ladies turned to the other one and said, you know, I can't take this anymore. The next time we find a good tree, we have to chop it down, whether it's lighted or not. Now, some of you are not going to get that because you may have blonde roots, but that's my Christmas joke for this morning. All right, but Matthew chapter 1. Those of you that are blonde, just think of it, think that it was a brunette. Okay, two brunettes. All right, change the joke. Matthew chapter 1, looking at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21 is our text. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Many years ago, there was a missionary that was describing what happened after she had spent a day among a people who had never heard the name Jesus. She returned, this missionary returned to where she lived, and she lay awake thinking about the some of the Indian ladies to whom she had spoken to in the village. Suddenly, she heard someone approaching her house. And she went out to investigate, and she met a man who was right outside of her home. The man looked at the lady and said, Teacher, what was his name? And she looked again at the man and said, what did you say? She said, he said, Teacher, what is his name? Finally, she understood that he was asking about the name of the person she had been teaching about. He said, you told our woman about a great man who healed the sick and was kind to everybody. What was his name? The young missionary lady responded saying, Jesus. The man turned, and as he left to go, and it was a 7-mile hike back to the village, he heard him chanting, Ah, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, that's his name. You know, that's, I think, what we forget about at Christmas. In Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, guess what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. We sing a song in Christianity, called Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There's a wonder in the name of Jesus. Just in the Gospels, Jesus has many names. There are 13 different titles that Jesus has in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those 13 titles are used 239 times. Son of Man, Lord, Teacher, Rabbi, Son of God, King of the Jews, Messiah, Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, Master, Son of Abraham, Holy One of God, One who comes in the name of the Lord. Just in the Gospel of John, the word Jesus is used over 100 times. In the book of John, Jesus is called the King of Israel. He is called the Lamb of God, the Light of the World, the only begotten Son of God. He's called the True Bread, the True Light, the True Vine, the Truth, the Way, and He's called the Resurrection and the Life. This is Jesus that we introduced to you this morning. It is not about the Christmas season. We celebrate the babe, Jesus, coming to the world. We celebrate him coming down for a purpose. He was not coming here to give us a time to sing Christmas carols. He was not coming for us to drink eggnog and to exchange fruitcake and to watch A Wonderful Life together. No, that's not what Christmas and Jesus coming to this earth was about. Jesus himself said this in the book of John. He said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. This morning, we'd like to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus, the reason for the season. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for these folks that came in this morning. And Lord, we would ask that you would meet with us this morning as we take the Word of God and we try to understand a little bit about Jesus and why He came. Why is it important at Christmas to celebrate Jesus coming to this earth? Lord, calm hearts. Help us to look at the Scriptures and understand it. And Holy Spirit, do what I can't. Speak to hearts. Lord, we ask for your power and claim it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to give you three simple points this morning. Three simple ideas about this Jesus that came. You'll notice in our text here that it says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The first thing is really easy. What does Jesus, or knowing Jesus, what can he do for you as an individual? Well, through his name, we receive redemption. Through his name, we receive redemption. Let's turn to the book of John. We were in Matthew, so it's Mark, Luke, and John, one of the four gospels. So let's turn to the book of John, and we're going to look at chapter 1. Look at John 1 and look at verse 8. This is talking about Jesus. And it says in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This is talking about John the Baptist. And it was saying that John the Baptist was not the light. In fact, John the Baptist was witnessing of the true light. Look in verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look at verse 14. This is kind of descriptive of Christmas. And the Word was made, what? Flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to read another passage because we're talking about John here. And John, later on in the New Testament, we know he wrote the book of Revelation, but before the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote three little letters. It was called 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And in 1 John chapter 2, here the Apostle John is looking back, I believe, and he's thinking about Jesus Christ being here on this earth, and he's thinking about the time Jesus went away, and how that they were left and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and they started the Church of God. And in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," we have an advocate with the Father. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Later in this passage, John was thinking and reminiscing, and he's talking about different groups of people. And he says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." This morning, the first thing that we see about Jesus and the power of Jesus' name is that we can receive redemption. You may have come in here and you have no idea who this Jesus is. We celebrate and then you see a little nativity scene and you think, boy, there's a baby in there. I wonder who that baby is. Well, this morning we introduce Jesus to you, the babe that was in a manger, but he didn't come to just stay in a nativity scene. He came to die and offer you redemption. He came to offer you salvation, and not just for me only, but for the sins of the whole world. That is Jesus. There are many in our lifetime, many throughout the world, that they try all kinds of things. There are many religious organizations, and they will come to you and they will say that, you know what, you can have salvation, but you must give us so much money. They will say, you can have redemption, but you can have salvation, but you've got to do this list of deeds. But Jesus says, none of that will do it. He said, not by works of your righteousness, which you have done. You cannot be saved. No, you just have to come to the feet of Jesus, who died on an old rugged cross, and there you will find redemption through Jesus. Jesus brings redemption. And there's two things as far as this redemption. Jesus brings redemption completely. What do I mean by that? I read a story this week about a pastor, and he was at a social gathering, and there was a Muslim that came up to him and started, he knew this man was a pastor, and he started talking to him. The man, the pastor, took him aside to a private room, and they started discussing about how that Jesus came and he could save this man's soul. He went all the way through the plan of salvation. He got to the end and he said, "Would you like to pray?" And so this Muslim man bowed and he prayed. And then when he got done, this is what the Muslim said. He said, "Now I have Allah and God to save me." Now that is incorrect. Sorry to say that that man misunderstood redemption. Because when Jesus comes to save your soul, you need nothing else. You don't need anything else. We sing a song, "Only Jesus can save your soul. Only Jesus can make you whole." And it is completely true when we look at Scripture that you need nothing else but Jesus to save you. You may be relying upon your own works. You may be relying upon your church attendance. You may be relying upon, I don't know what it may be. But only Jesus can save us. He offers redemption and he offers it completely. Why? Because when he hung upon a tree and that old rugged cross as we sing about it, and he died, and then he was buried, and he rose again. A perfect man, and yet a perfect God, was put to death. Both. I don't understand it all. It's a dual part nature. And he wasn't just part man, part God. He was all God, and he was all man. I can't explain it all to you, but I know it's true. Why? By faith, I believe the Scripture. And by faith, the Scripture says, if you confess your sin and you trust in this Jesus, You can have salvation. And not just a part of salvation, you have salvation completely. It's all yours. So we can have redemption through his name completely, but I also can have redemption permanently. What do I mean by that? Well, there was a story of another preacher. And this is kind of sad because this man, I believe he was out in California, and he was heading up a big movement trying to get all kinds of people together to praise the Lord and to serve God. And this preacher was talking to another man, and he looked at him and he said, you know, it's great that we're getting all these people together, but I sure wish that we could know for sure that we could be saved. This was a preacher saying this. Well, I'm sorry for that preacher, because the Bible says that I have salvation permanently. It's not just a part-time thing. It's not just a something that is, I'm hoping so. No, it's a no-so salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You can know for certain that it's permanent. I don't have to be saved over and over and over again. No, my Savior's blood was enough forever. That's our Savior. That is Jesus. Jesus brings redemption. So his name this morning, through the name of Jesus, what does he offer you? Through his name, he offers you redemption. What does redemption mean? Redeemed. If you were going to go into a store and you were going to redeem something, you know what it simply means? To buy it up. To purchase something. So when we're saying that Jesus can redeem you, guess what he is going to do? He's going to purchase you. How can he purchase you? With his blood that he shed. He was perfect. He was sinless. And Jesus, through his name, offers you purchase. He will purchase. And think of what he gets for it. He gets your sin. And he gives you perfection and completeness and eternal life. Now, I think Jesus is not really getting a bargain. But you and I are. Because we're able to lay down our sin and Jesus takes it all. Completely and permanently. And then he gives me eternal life. That's Jesus. Through his name, we get redemption. Secondly, look at John chapter 14. We were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So let's look at John again in John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus talking. If some of you have a red letter edition, you'll see that these are Jesus' words. And in verse 13 it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask, what does he say? In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything, what? In my name, I will do it. Now, what is the Bible telling you? What's the second thing that Jesus, through his name, offers you? Through his name, we have redemption. But secondly, through his name, I have access to heaven. I have access to heaven. Some of you, you come in and your heart is burdened down and it's weighted down with cares. Through the name of Jesus, I can step boldly into the throne of grace. Through the name of Jesus, when I'm weighted down, when I'm burdened, I can come into the presence of a God that is almighty and all-powerful. And he has every resource there to answer your prayer. And through his name, not through my name, not through the church's name, not through some famous person. Maybe you have gone someplace and you've gotten a VIP pass. Man, you've maybe felt really important. They've ushered you through. Now, we didn't really, one time I didn't have a VIP pass, but my wife had a surgery on her leg one time, and that was just as good as a VIP pass. All right, now, we are not glorying in the surgery, but it sure helped. All right, it sure helped because she had this little scooter, and we'd come up, we're like, oh, yes. And people like, oh, why don't you come over into this line? And, man, we all just went right to we were in an amusement park, all of us, right into the front of the line. We're like, you know what? We need to break somebody's leg more often when we go to amusement parks. Somebody has to be the sacrificial lamb because we are just ushered right to the front. Now, maybe you've had an experience like that and you've had special treatment. But you know what? God, through his name, you can have that treatment. And what treatment is that? That in my name, I can get on my knees and I can say, oh, Lord, you know, I need some help here. I'm having some problems with my family. Or I'm having issues with my finances. Maybe it's a job or maybe it's something else. And I can get on my knees and I can say, dear Lord, in Steve Dameron's name, I ask you. Nothing's done. You can put your name in there. We put your name in there and like, God, I used his name. I thought he was a special person. They may be here on this earth. I may know presidents. I may know kings. I may know princes. And I can say, well, wait, I know them. But that doesn't move God. So what does? Well, through redemption, I now have Jesus. And I can get on my knees and I may not be known in the world. I may not have fame and fortune. But when I get on my knees and then I call out to this God and then I say in Jesus' name, please do this. All of a sudden, it's quiet in heaven. And the God of heaven looks down. And because of Jesus' name, God listens to me. That's what Jesus offers you. There was a story of a boy some years ago, and he was on a ship, and it had gotten into a horrible storm. This was off the coast of England. A thick fog obliterated the coastline. And as a last resort, the captain ordered the men to tie themselves to the rigging of the vessel. Finally, the captain looked around at his men and said, I have done everything to save you. And a little boy said, Skipper, you haven't prayed. The captain then offered up a simple prayer. It wasn't really a prayer filled with faith. And he looked at the watch, and at that time it was 1:25 a.m. A little later, some Coast Guardsmen came and they saw the ship through the fog and they rescued those men. Later, the captain and those Coast Guardsmen were talking and the Coast Guardsmen said, hey, we were out and we were looking and at approximately 1:25, we saw your ship. That little boy, he may not have been important to that skipper. He may not have been important to those other men. He may have just been a little runt to just do some, to swab the deck and to clean some things. But he knew somebody. He knew Jesus. And through Jesus' name, he could have access to heaven. Lastly, this morning, we see that we have, through his name, redemption. Through his name, we have access to heaven. But let's turn back to Matthew. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at two texts in closing. Matthew chapter 28, and then we're going to look at Acts chapter 3. Very interesting story. But in Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. That is Jesus. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what is the Bible telling us? Jesus has all power given to him. And he says, go out there and I'm going to go with you. So what do we have through his name? Oh, we have redemption. We have access to heaven. But I have available power. I have an available power that is given to me. Why? If I stay with Jesus, I have an available power to conquer sin, to conquer self, to conquer Satan. We have an available power that is there, but only through Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 3, I'll read the story. In Acts chapter 3, and here we have, remember John, we've used John kind of as remembering different things. And I think this would have been an interesting story for John to remember as he sat on that Isle of Patmos, thinking about this Jesus that he trusted in, this Jesus who he followed and he loved so dearly, and Jesus who left and then told him that, hey, I'll give you power. Who was this Jesus? What power did he have? Well, in Acts chapter 3, says Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now look at verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but here is this man sitting. It's a beggar at the gate Beautiful, and it's a lame man. He's not able to walk, and that's how he gets some, he provides a living that way by people coming by, and he's able to get some alms. He's able to get some funds. And I don't know why Peter and John said, hey, look at us. It could be that Peter and John didn't look like really wealthy guys. That's one thing, I think. He was saying, look on us. Hey, we don't have a lot of stuff. But look at verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Look what he says then. In the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, there's a lot of charlatans that are out there. There's a lot of these faith healers that come up. And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about some hocus pocus that you come on down and we're like, in the name of Jesus. All right? And everybody's falling down. No, no, no. But I really believe this is true that happened in the scriptures. It's recorded for you and I. But it's not recorded for you and I so that we think, oh man, if I'm lame, I just have to find Jesus and man, he's going to heal my legs. It could be possible that Jesus could do that. Jesus can do anything, but the story is given to you and I to show you and I that nothing, nothing is impossible through Jesus. Nothing is impossible. And there are people that have worse things than lame legs. Oh, you've walked crippled spiritually through life. Spiritually, you've been lame and you've been haltering and you've been coming down and you're kind of, you limp. And you limp because the devil has taken all your life away. And what can Jesus do? Jesus, through his touch, can spiritually make you walk again. Jesus, through his touch, can make you whole. That's the Jesus that we're talking about this morning. Oh, it's not just a little baby in a manger. It is a Jesus that grew up. And then he died in an old rugged cross so that you and I could have salvation. There was a businessman in South Africa. And what was interesting, he entertained friends at his house at a bar. But it was a specially renovated bar. You see, it used to be that he was a drunkard. And liquor had ravaged his life and made a mockery of him. And in essence, spiritually, he was lame. But he found Jesus one day. And he got saved, and so he would invite his friends over. And on that same bar that brought so much debauchery, that brought so much hatred and brought so much hurt to his life, at that same bar, he opened up his Bible and he shared the name of Jesus. Because he said through Jesus and through his name, he found power to toss all the bottles out of his house. Then what about you this morning? Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about just the babe in the manger. I'm talking about Jesus that can come and save your soul. The Jesus that came and he died on an old rugged cross. That's the Jesus that can come and transform your life. He brings you redemption. He offers it to you. He offers you access to heaven. And he offers you power to not be brought under the awful power of sin. He can break those chains. That is the Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. When we come in, and I know at church we should be thinking about biblical things and spiritual things, but when we go out into the world and we see all the Christmas lights and we see all the different things with the Santa and we see the reindeer and we see all those different things, well, they're missing it all. Because in our text in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was told that you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. We offer you Jesus this morning. Jesus that can save your soul. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Oh, our prayer is that Jesus